The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Lights out, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Lights Out. I'm your host, Josh. I'm joined by the boys, my co-host, Austin.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
It's good.
Good. And our producer, Daniel. How's it going, man?
Going pretty good, man. How are you?
Living the dream, man. Living the dream. Well, today we're going to be covering some people who just had the absolute worst day at work. And oftentimes it was their very last day on this earth.
Yeah.
And
some of these stories remind me when I think, you know, I might have a rough day at work or whatever job I used to have. You used to work in a kitchen. I used to work in a really crappy job. This will ground you a little bit.
It yeah.
will remind you that it's not that bad.
And it will also make you think, how much danger am I in at my job?
True.
Do you guys feel in danger here at Earth? Other than being in this studio
Yeah,
sometimes?
I was going to say in here maybe.
No, no.
Good.
Maybe when I'm next to Austin. But.
That's what I like to say. Yeah. You never know, man. You never know with him. So, yeah, we've got five different stories we're going to cover today, and some of these are fairly recent, and you may have heard of some of them because they were breaking news when they happened, including a runaway semi explosion here in Colorado, and I remember that one very vividly. It's absolutely insane. But, of course, we have some lethal warehouse machines. We have an Uber driver who... I feel so bad for this Uber driver because she had no idea what was about to unfold when she went to pick up this individual. But these stories will horrify you, no doubt. But at the end, we have one that will horrify you in a different way.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
And it's a little bit of a palate cleanser, too, for, you know, kind of to wash yourself clean at the end of it.
But before we jump in, I did want to thank everybody for all the support on the latest merch drop. You guys loved all the designs and especially loved our Ouija board blanket. And I mean, I see why. They're very, very, they're dope.
It might be my favorite merch drop we've done.
Really. Yeah. And maybe we can see about getting that design on a t-shirt or something too, because I mean, it's just such a cool design.
Yeah.
And I know many of you are like, oh, I would love to get this on a shirt or sweatshirt or something like that. So we're going to look into that as well. And we'll definitely keep you updated when those are back in stock. But the t-shirt and the long sleeve are still available at lightsoutcast.shop if you want to go pick one up. But with that being said, let's just go ahead and get right into our first story. And this one is on scammed Uber driver. On March 24th, 2024, 81-year-old William Brock from South Charleston, Ohio, received a frightening phone call. A scam caller tried to extort $12,000 out of him and then threaten his life. As we know, the scam calls are just out of control these days, especially when it comes to the elderly. They get preyed upon all the time. I mean, do you guys get a lot of scam calls?
I get them here and there, but I never pick them up. If I don't recognize the number or anything, I don't pick it up. And I did see a statistic recently, like, of who's more likely to open up their door when someone knocks at it or to pick up a phone call that they don't recognize the number. And it's always the elderly are more likely. I think we're a bit more skeptical of phone calls and knocks on the door now.
I know you both have Androids, which I don't know why, but does it tell you if it's like a scam call at all?
No, it'll be like potential spam.
Okay, so it'll do that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it'll notify me. Or it'll just say like restricted, and I'm like, I'm not picking this up. Why would I pick this up?
Because iPhones will tell you scam likely if the number's like on one of their lists, but sometimes it's not. There is a great app that you can get that costs a little bit of money, but I think it's well worth it, especially if you're getting absolutely hammered with scam calls. RoboKiller. I don't know if you ever used that before.
No, never heard of it.
It's really nice just to have for all calls because it'll screen your calls for you. So whenever someone calls you, and obviously you can like customize it so people don't have to be like screened before the call reaches you, but any number that's not in your contacts list or you add to the app, it will make the caller actually tell the Robo killer app who they are. It'll like ask them who they are, and then it will tell you before you decide whether or not you want to pick up the call, which is really nice. So I've been using that for a while, and that's a game changer. It's a little bit annoying, and people are always like, oh, what was that? Like, what do you have set up on your phone? Not sponsored, by the way, but it's a very cool app if you do get a lot of scam calls. It's a great way to cut that shit out because it's super annoying.
My favorites are it's like newscaster. They pick up the phone and they know it's a scammer and they kind of loop them in. Sink line and hooker and they start reeling them in. And then all of a sudden they'll start doing the newscaster voice. I don't know if you've seen these videos.
No, I haven't.
You're live on News WEDZ. And like, they're like exposing the scam caller and just troll them the whole time. And then
that's amazing.
They click and hang up and they never call back again.
That's amazing. Yeah. I've seen some videos of like police. We'll do that too. They'll try to kind of lure them in and try to figure out who they are and stuff, which is great. And there's YouTube channels too that expose scammers and stuff.
Kid Boga is one of my
favorites. Yeah.
They do some really cool stuff. And oftentimes they actually like figure out who the scammers are. And more often than not, they're from overseas somewhere. But a major issue in this day and age. But anyways, back to the story. At first, the scammer pretended to be an officer from the local courthouse and told Brock his nephew was in jail and he needed some bail money, which this is a very common scam. Typically, the caller acts as an authority figure, whether it's law enforcement or some other government agency. Then they find someone, usually an older person with a relative, and the scammer tells them their relative is in jail or has been in an accident and needs cash immediately, and they usually request money using an app. In William Brock's case, when the caller couldn't get what they wanted out of William, they began threatening to kill him and his nephew, which this is according to William's statement to police. At the same time, someone contacted nearby Uber driver, 61-year-old Lolitha Tolan Hall, and it's believed she was contacted by either the same scammer or an accomplice trying to scare William at his home. She figured it was just another regular day of work. While out and about, she received an Uber request to pick up a package from William Brock's home, not realizing what was happening over at his house at the same time. By the time she arrived, William was in full defense mode. He was already convinced that Lolitha was in on the scam that had just threatened him and his family. When she arrived at the house, William came out of his home and pulled a gun on her, and her dash cam showed what happened next. So here's some footage of the initial encounter, and this they showed this on the news, so you hear the newscaster's voices here, but it's worth looking at.
The Clark County Sheriff's Office sent us this video from Lolitha Hall's car's dash cam. The Sheriff's Office says the Uber driver was requested through the Uber app to pick up a package at this house near Springfield. The video taken on March 25th, you can see Hall walk in front of her car holding her phone and glasses in her left hand. Moments later, the dash cam shows Hall backing away from the 81-year-old William Brock, who lived at that home. Brock follows her to her car, pointing a gun at her the entire time. Authorities say Brock took Hall's cell phone and refused to let her leave.
So it's very clear from the video, she has no idea what she's walking into whatsoever. She just thinks she's going to pick up a package, and then this man emerges from the house with a gun pointed at her. I can't imagine how terrifying that must have been. But according to the sheriff's later statement, Lilith had suffered from a medical condition at the time, and she also made no threats or assaults toward William and made no demands other than to ask about the package she was told by Uber to go pick up. Out of the frame of this video, William had taken Lalitha's phone from her and demanded at gunpoint that she tell him the identities of the people who were threatening him. He also wouldn't let her leave her property. After William shot her once in the leg, he then threatened to shoot her in the other leg. When she got back in her car to try to escape, William then fired several more times between more exchanges with Lalitha, hitting her a total of 3 times, and she ended up falling to the ground and bleeding out. And then William called the police, and we have some of that audio we want to play for you.
Well, I shot her in the leg first time, and I shot her in the shoulder.
Why did you do that?
Because I was threatened that she was going to come and kill me.
When police arrived at William's home, they found Lalitha on the ground with 3 gunshot wounds, and they found William with an unexplained injury on his head and ear. He was obviously immediately arrested. And meanwhile, Lalitha was transported to a nearby hospital where she unfortunately died from her injuries. Her friends had called her Letha. She had a son, stepson, and 2 close sisters, Melissa and Marquita. Before working with Uber, she had attended Ohio State University, majoring in horticulture. She then created her own janitorial services company and had several jobs before retiring from Regional Income Tax Agency. She then occasionally found work through Uber. So this is just like, to, you know, supplemental income for her at this point. And it's just terrible that this has happened. But her obituary said, quote, although Letha enjoyed traveling and visiting family and friends, she felt most fulfilled gardening, fishing, and cooking. She was an incredible cook who put her heart and soul into every dish and was known for her delicious buttery pound cakes. After the tragedy, the sheriff's office reminded their community to be more vigilant about scams. They said, quote, the Clark County Sheriff's Office would like to take the opportunity to again remind residents, especially our older citizens, that no law enforcement agency or court will make contact with anyone in the manner of this case to solicit cash for bail. Uber also began working with police to try to track down the person who had requested the package pickup in the first place. Uber said they had banned the account that requested Lolita's ride, but it isn't clear if the person behind the account has ever been identified, which is honestly crazy to think.
Yeah.
That they can figure out the account, but not who the person is.
Right. Like, don't you have to, I haven't used Uber in a long time, but don't you have to verify your identity and stuff like that? Or do you not? Can anyone just open up an account?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like you have to upload an ID for Uber just to be a rider or request services.
You would think, right?
But maybe not.
Yeah.
In April 2024, William Brock was charged with 3 counts of murder, 1 count of kidnapping, and 1 count of felonious assault. He pleaded not guilty and posted a $200,000 bond. He is currently awaiting trial, and if convicted of murder, he could face a life sentence. So several questions have gone unanswered since the incident. Why didn't William call 911 and take down the license plate number of the Uber vehicle when he first got the threat? You know, why did he take matters into his own hands? He didn't have to answer the door. He didn't have to come out with a gun.
Exactly.
Why not just call the police and be like, somebody threatened my life, and let the police investigate it? And clearly, she, most non-threatening human.
Yeah, you can just even see her kind of limping when she gets out of her car. Like, she's an elderly woman. She doesn't look threatening in any way whatsoever.
So was this just genuine confusion? You know, somebody who's elderly, you know, mental capacity at that point is always, you know, a question. So maybe he really did think somebody was coming over, which I could totally see.
Yeah. Then it raises the question, like, you know how we had to do this with my grandma, you know, take their driver's license away after a while because it was clearly dangerous for her to be in a vehicle. It kind of raises the question, should we do the same for gun owners to some degree? Like, if this guy's a bit geriatric and confused, yet he can have a loaded firearm and just walk out of his house one day, bit concerning.
Yeah, that's definitely a good question. controversial one as well.
Yeah, sorry if I pissed anyone off with that one, but I think it's at least a valid question.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like an elderly person might feel more comfortable, especially if they live alone, you know, and I know both my grandparents and definitely own firearms, and, you know, they could be at greater risk for burglary and things like that. So a means to protect yourself. But again, I think he crossed the line when he followed after her and then proceeded to shoot her when she literally did nothing. I mean, she was going back to her car to leave.
Right.
And he decides to just kill her.
Gun her down. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think the charges are warranted, obviously, in this case that, you know, he made the decision to go out there. He then made the decision to shoot her. You know, he shot her in both legs and then...
Yeah, he had already shot her once. And then he basically gunned her down when she tried to get back in her car. So, it seems like... Also, hey, this might be an uncomfortable point to raise up too. The victim is also black and he's a white man.
True. Maybe there's something to that as well.
Worth raising the point, I guess, but... Because it just seems like there's no reason for something like this to happen.
No.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
But yeah, this next one, wow, this is every truck driver's worst nightmare. And it's really a prime example of why we have runaway truck ramps on the sides of highways. You know, you'll see those all over the place, especially Colorado when you get into the more mountainous areas. You'll see them all over the place.
Yeah, wherever there's steep grades.
Yep.
And, you know, brakes can fail. I mean, it seems like a very smart thing to do. Give truckers a place to go off the road so that they don't cause an accident like we're about to see.
Exactly. So this is just a sleepy Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Basically just a day like any other in Lakewood, Colorado. School had just gotten out and as usual, you know, rush hour traffic had begun. Around 4 p.m., a semi-truck trailer had actually crashed into a Jefferson County Public Schools school bus on Interstate 70, causing 10 injuries, but luckily, there were no fatalities. The problem was that the interstate soon shut down completely between exits 266 and 267, and this caused a huge traffic backup eastbound, stretching several exits all the way back to 263. Many drivers still on the highway had to sit in traffic until they could finally make it to an exit. So about a half hour passed and only the far left lanes opened back up to let a small amount of traffic kind of trickle through. And to most, honestly, this is nothing new in the Denver area. Accidents happen. Traffic is just a way of life here. I mean, yep. God knows how many times I've been stuck in traffic since I moved here. It's kind of just... Between like 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., traffic, it's there.
And constant accidents. Everywhere.
Constant. On the way to work today, I saw a massive accident at an intersection. Pickup truck got smashed and it was a hit and run and the whole intersection was shut down.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happens all the time. But what happened next here, nobody saw coming. Because that afternoon around 4:30 p.m., 23-year-old Rogel Lazaro Aguilera Baderos was hauling lumber in a semi-truck heading eastbound on I-70. According to him, after seeing the traffic ahead, he tried to apply his brakes, but they malfunctioned as he was going 85 miles per hour. And reports claim that he was in a 45-mile-an-hour zone, so he was speeding here.
That's 40 miles over the speed limit?
Right.
Like, that's just...
For a semi-truck.
Yeah. That's reckless.
That is reckless.
I mean, that's... There's no reason a semi-truck should be going that fast.
No.
In a 45-mile-an-hour zone.
Yeah. And what happens next is exactly why this shouldn't be happening. Both sets of brakes and his emergency brakes apparently didn't work at all. He was caught on video speeding around exit 254, plus at the same exit, his truck was captured on video as he swerved through lanes and even passed a runaway truck ramp without taking it.
So not only is this a semi-truck going 85 miles an hour, but it's full of lumber.
Yeah.
This is like Final Destination situation. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm behind a semi truck with lumber, I'm moving lanes.
It's gonna go through your windshield.
I'm like, I don't know, or any truck where people just have a bunch of shit like piled up in the back and they have like one strap going over the top. I'm like,
I'm not
gonna be sitting behind this
in
case something breaks loose. Because I mean, when you're going fast, especially, I mean, that's deadly.
Seriously, but. Here's some of that video that somebody actually caught because somebody realized, whoa, this semi-truck is way out of control. What's going on here? There's runaway truck ramp right there.
It's on that truck ramp. The truck ramp.
It's flying.
Swerving through lanes.
And I-70 through the mountains has got a lot of curves to it, too.
Yeah.
So he should be going off for the runaway ramp here, but doesn't.
Totally pass it. If anything, he's swerving across to the other side of the highway.
He's in multiple lanes now.
Yeah.
Now he's in the middle lane. Just swerving.
So instead of taking that runaway ramp, you know, he drifts to the left lane, he passes another exit, and since he was on a decline in a mountainous stretch of highway, his truck increased in speeds. He ended up getting, they estimate, nearly 100 miles an hour at some point. No brakes.
That's insane.
He ended up charging past the next four exits, swerving through lanes to avoid other cars, and the only control he had was the steering wheel, which obviously at speeds of 100 miles an hour, that just becomes more and more difficult to control.
Not to mention this huge trailer you have on the back loaded with lumber.
Yeah, all that momentum behind you. So he tried to maneuver to the right lanes towards the shoulder, attempting to exit the highway, but couldn't. He tried to pull over to the shoulder to avoid stopped traffic, but supposedly another semi had already stopped there. And by now, it was just too late. The traffic was too dense and disaster was imminent. A live streamer, Josh McCutcheon, was actually videoing himself in his car on the day of the accident. Thousands watched Josh document his road trip as he was stuck in traffic, and he caught the moment right as the semi-truck sped past him. So you can actually see how fast this thing was going, and here's a news clip of what he captured.
The disaster was captured on camera by this man. Turns out he's a professional YouTuber who streaming at the time of the accident.
Something terrible is about to happen.
Look at that.
All you can see his car kind of shake too as it passes.
Something's on fire. Blew up here, guys.
The fiery pileup involving 28 vehicles took place on Interstate 70 in Colorado.
I was just so bewildered about what just happened. Like, where the heck did that come from? Like, the thing just came out of nowhere.
Thousands of followers were watching Josh McCutcheon live streaming his road trip down I-70. At first, it was all pretty routine. Then a truck comes barreling past.
Oh, my God!
he immediately went into reporter mode, giving a live account of the disaster.
We are live on the scene. Things are exploding underneath this. We can see a car right here, completely crushed.
If you believe in prayer, now's a good time to say one for those involved.
So at 100 miles per hour with that kind of weight, and not only the, you know, this is filled with lumber, so combustible material.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hits, it's a bomb.
Yeah.
And as you can see from that video, it's just huge fireball, absolutely decimates all the vehicles in the immediate area.
Yeah.
Take a look at the top of your screen. You see that semi just speeding by, traffic, brakes burning behind it. Now, in an interview with police, Aguilera Madero said he didn't see those smoking brakes at all and that it wasn't his first time driving through Colorado's mountains. And then this footage, actually from a state trooper's dash cam, you see the semi just speed by traffic in the shoulder.
But yeah, an eyewitness supposedly got a look of Rogel moments before the accident of him in the driver's seat. They later told police that he was, quote, wide-eyed with a terrified look on his face. Rogel's semi-truck barreled into stop traffic. He crashed into three other semi-trucks and several more vehicles, causing a 28-car pileup. And since he was hauling lumber, the wood combined with the gasoline and sparks, plus a series of mattresses carried by a Beautyrest semi-truck, the accident soon became an inferno. The site of the crash exploded, and the fire raged to 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Seeing the blaze, cars then started racing across the median in a panic, causing another massive traffic backup on the other side of the highway. The first emergency call came in at about 4:50 p.m. The Colorado Department of Transportation immediately shut down I-70 at 5:03 p.m. Firefighters rushed to the scene, but they couldn't put out the blaze until 10 p.m. that night. So over 5 hours after the accident, they were working on putting out that blaze. I-70 wouldn't be reopened until 8:20 a.m. the following day. In the aftermath, it was determined that four people had lost their lives in the freak accident. All victims were residents of Colorado. They were Doyle Harrison, age 61, William Bailey, age 67, Stanley Politano, age 69, and Miguel Lamas Arellano, age 24. Six others were also injured. This accident became a tragic reminder of the dangers of mountain driving, especially between Denver and Vail. And authorities reported there was no evidence of drugs or alcohol involved in the crash, which makes me think we might have a sleepy truck driver on our hands.
Yeah.
I know a lot of truck drivers, they'll just take caffeine pills, do a bunch of coffee, try and push through. They don't want to sleep that much because they just want to haul ass to the next city where they got to go. That was my best guess at why he was trucking at, you know, 85 and a 45 and missed the runaway ramp. He's probably panicking. He's probably tired. That's my guess.
Yeah. Well, and just I don't understand how he missed all of the signs. I mean, I've driven I-70 through the mountains a million times, and there's so many signs that let truckers know that you've got a steep grade coming up, that you need, you know, they should be in the far right lane so that they can hit those runaway ramps if they need to, but also, you know, they can gear down and, you know, slow down as well. You know, they should never be in the middle or the left lane at any point in time. Usually you see semi-trucks driving a lot slower than everybody else in the right lanes when they're going down those steep grades for this very reason.
And what we saw in that video too was that warning sign. It said runaway truck ramp, 2,500 feet. So he had 2,500 feet to prepare himself in the right lane to make that exit, and he totally passed it.
The only thing I can think of is he just froze in the moment. He was just panicking, terrified. Yeah. He just like didn't remember his training. I don't know. Like, I assume they teach truck drivers that if this ever happens, you 100% take the runaway ramps in order to mitigate a crash. Cause yeah, he survived this, which is honestly crazy.
Yeah.
Rogel survived with minor injuries. And of course he was arrested and booked into the Jefferson County Jail the following morning. At first, he was only investigated for vehicular manslaughter, but by May 3rd, 2019, he faced 41 charges, including manslaughter, first-degree assault and 24 counts of attempted first-degree assault. His defense argued that the crash was a tragic, unavoidable accident caused by mechanical malfunctions. Unfortunately, after the crash and the following fire, the evidence of any mechanical failure had been destroyed. And 1 month after the accident, Rohel offered condolences to the families of the victims in a video on Facebook. He also thanked the people who had donated to his legal defense. In October of 2021, in addition to four counts of vehicular homicide, Rohel was also found guilty of 23 other charges. These included 10 counts of attempt to commit assault in the first degree, extreme indifference, two counts of vehicular assault, one count of reckless driving, and four counts of careless driving causing death. And in December of 2021, he was sentenced to 110 years in prison. And we have some footage of him speaking at his sentencing.
Terrible. Bad. Since April 25th, 2019, I know that it has been hard and heartbreaking for everyone involved in this tragedy. I don't know why I'm alive and for what. I'm dying my life. It is hard to live with this trauma. I can't sleep. I'm thinking all the time about the victims. When Mr. Miguel left.
When he was handed down that 110-year sentence, it was met with immediate outcry from the public. Even some of the victim's family members advocated for a lesser sentence. This included Dwayne Bailey, the brother of one of the victims, William Bailey. He said, quote, "I think we can all agree that 110 years is excessive." But he added that the jury, quote, "came to the correct decision to convict him." The sentencing became so high profile that even Kim Kardashian later tweeted her support for Rohel and asked for clemency. Over 5 million people also signed a petition for commutation or clemency from the governor. And in December 2021, Governor Polis ended up commuting his sentence. Governor Polis wrote, quote, "After learning about the highly atypical and unjust sentence in your case, I am commuting your sentence to 10 years and granting you parole eligibility on December 30th, 2026. So what do you think about that? You think it was an excessive sentence originally?
I think it was an excessive sentence, but then I also think it might have been an excessive commutation of his sentence. Like, we almost went way too
far. Delete 100 years off.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Because it is reckless what he was doing. He missed the ramp. I don't know. There were so many things he could have done correctly as a truck driver. And then it resulted in absolute tragedy. So I think he's responsible for a lot of what happened, if not all of what happened. So I don't know. I'm a bit torn. I don't think 10 years with parole eligibility in 2026 is quite enough in this case.
Yeah. 110 is definitely just over the top. I mean, seems like it was, you know, let's make a statement here with the sentencing. But yeah, 110, I mean, there's people who do, you know, not comparing a horrible crime to a horrible crime, but there's people that do, you know, things to children and, you know, that aren't getting as long of sentences as he did. So I think he definitely should serve time for it and 100% never allowed to be a truck driver ever again.
Yep.
Because clearly he made some major mistakes that ended up costing lives. But yeah. 10 years seems a little light to me when it comes to that. But I don't know. It's hard because they weren't able to actually see how much of it was the truck's fault, too,
right.
Because the truck was incinerated. So they weren't able to really figure out what happened with the truck and how much was the truck's fault, how much was his fault. But again,
in some of those videos, they're saying, oh, we're seeing smoke coming off the vehicle from the brakes. So it's like, were some of the brakes being applied? It's we just don't know. That evidence is gone, unfortunately.
And like, how many opportunities did he have to get the truck off the road?
Right.
And instead he chose to keep going when there was multiple opportunities for him to stop this from ever happening. So I think, you know, that's part of having a job like that, is that you accept the responsibility that comes along with it and the risks that come along with it. So it's like with any other high risk job like that. I mean, even police officers, you know, when they use deadly force, there's a possibility they can be charged with manslaughter, with murder, even for taking a life. So I think it's just, it's a high risk job. And unfortunately, he didn't do the things he should have done. And who knows when the truck started having issues and really how many opportunities he had to avoid this. But yeah, I think for me, like 20 years seems like a fair sentence.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't necessarily think he shouldn't be allowed parole eligibility, but yeah, I think a little more than 10 years. Cause I mean, he's a young guy too. So it's like, it's not like the rest of his life is over after 20 years, but yeah, 10 years seems a little light.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's any truckers listening, I'm sure we probably have some out on the road right now listening to us.
Yeah, I know we do, actually. Yeah. I was reading some comments the other day, and there's definitely some truck drivers out there who listen to us while they're driving cross country. So I'm curious if you guys want to comment and let us know like what your thoughts were on this tragedy. And
yeah,
I'd be curious, because I'm wondering, you know, obviously we don't know really what we're talking about when it comes to being a truck driver, and none of us have ever done that profession before. Exactly, so I'm curious, what would you have done in this situation? Or have you ever been in a situation on a mountain highway or even just a steep grade where brakes fail?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
But moving on, our next work horror involves several controversial failures and accidents that led to the tragedy in the heart of Chicago, Illinois. On June 27, 2019, a 37-year-old woman, Phelan Nicole Smith, was riding a southbound L train in Chicago when she received some great news. She had just passed training for a job as an insurance broker. Her mother, Georgetta, called her daughter, quote, a jewel in this family, and she was one of nine sisters. She was so excited that she got off her train at the 69th Street station and decided to turn around and head north to get her paperwork from the downtown office. While waiting for the northbound train, she decided to give her kids a call and tell them the good news. But she accidentally dropped her phone and watched it tumble off the platform down onto the train tracks. She then crawled off of the platform and down to the tracks about 4 to 5 feet below in order to retrieve her cell phone. Which, right there, I think you can see where this is going. Never get on train tracks, yeah. Like, especially at a busy train station, right?
Yeah. And her sister touches on this. It's like, you know, we know not to do this. And I don't know, people make mistakes. People aren't thinking sometimes.
Where you're just like, it's only 4 to 5 feet below. Right. I'll just grab it real quick and, you know, save me the inconvenience of having to get another phone. And even as a kid, you know, I grew up in a few small towns and there was train tracks and there were trains that would use it. You know, every day there'd be a train that would run through. But we were always told, do not play on the train tracks. As tempting as it is as a kid to like walk on the train tracks or balance on the beams, it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, we would go, we'd put some pennies on the rails.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
My friend Ben, he lived actually right behind a set of train tracks. So yeah, we would go there, you know, probably we shouldn't have been out there though, you know?
But sadly for Fallon, she would only live for another 17 seconds because unknown to her, another train along the Red Line was quickly approaching the station. A controversial leaked Chicago Transit Authority video with limited frames was later released online showing what happened in those 17 seconds. It's believed the video was recorded possibly by another CTA employee's cell phone, and later, if the CTA found the person, they threatened to, quote, discharge and pursue all applicable criminal penalties. This video would raise a lot of questions surrounding the active security guard's actions, and it would also fuel the flames of cruelty toward Fallon's family on social media. The video showed a security officer with a dog hired by a CTA approaching her while she was down on the tracks. Apparently, the security guard told her to get off the tracks, but it's unclear if she could hear the command over the sound of the noisy station that sat right on the median of the Dan Ryan Expressway. The video also showed evidence that the guard showed no signs of physically removing her from the tracks, and over the following months, many argued whether or not the guard or anyone else on the platform should have tried. These CTA trains can travel up to 55 miles per hour, but it isn't clear how fast this one was traveling when it approached the 69th Street station. And within seconds, the train came barreling along the tracks, applying its brakes far too late. And in her final moments, Fallon could be seen trying to lift herself up to the platform, but couldn't. She then raced in the direction of the oncoming train toward the service ladder in a last-ditch effort to escape, but time was against her. Fallon Smith was hit and cut in half by the train, killing her instantly. After emergency services arrived, she was pronounced dead at the scene at 12:40 p.m., To make things worse, footage of the CTA Red Line train operator in charge of the Red Line train was later released, and it's showing, and when you look at this video, you can see he was distracted, he was smiling and waving peace signs out the window, and his hands weren't even on the controls. And let's show you some of that footage now. So there's no audio on this, but he's
hanging out.
Takes both hands off the controls there, he's looking out the window.
Smiling, nodding his head. Boom, he sees it.
Too late. And he knows, he's like, this train is not stopping. It's very eerie though, to see his like whole demeanor change there. Right.
Instantly.
And then he leaves. I don't know where he goes, but
radio.
Went to get his radio.
Yeah.
So if you weren't able to see that video, it was clear he was looking out the window for more than 20 seconds straight before noticing someone on the tracks. And after a thorough investigation, CTA found that the train operator violated guidelines regarding train operations, including attention to duty and safe train operations, and CTA immediately terminated the unnamed operator. CTA also said it was impossible to tell if the train could have stopped before hitting Fallon. As for the security company, CTA immediately ended its contract with AGB Investigative Services. In the aftermath, the family publicly requested that the surveillance footage of Fallon's death be removed from social media, which 100% understand that. In August 2019, they also filed lawsuits against the CTA and its former security company. The family's lawyers allege that the security guard on the platform, quote, failed to provide any assistance whatsoever, despite their close proximity to Fallon Smith, and knowledge that she was in need of assistance, no one lifted a finger to help her. Which is just so sad, because it's very possible she could have been pulled out and saved.
Yeah.
Had somebody done something.
Yeah, just one or two bystanders, you know.
But instead, she had to take matters in her own hands and run for the service ladder, but it was too late.
And it's tough, because it's like, you know, I don't want to be near the tracks either, because there's someone.
Right, true. Coming.
But man, 17 seconds, you know, it might seem like a short time, but really in reality, 17 seconds is quite a lot of time.
I feel like it's enough time to probably pull her out. I mean, that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you count 17 seconds out loud, I mean, I feel like you could reach down and.
Right.
Pull somebody over, like, hey, help me get her out.
Especially when she was trying to get out, you know.
Just grab her arm and pull. Like,
it's hard to say, too. I mean, like, in hindsight, I wasn't there. It's easy for me to say that I could just do it. But I don't know. I feel like someone could have helped out here.
And is it possible somebody else could have been injured or killed if they had tried to help her?
Right.
It's definitely impossible. The victim's sister, Brandy Martin, later said, quote, we've been taught fire's fire hot. Trains are trains. You don't get on train tracks. We know these things. But a simple act of kindness could have saved her, no matter if she made a poor decision or not. Brandy also expressed how horrifying it had been to wake up after the tragedy, log on to Facebook, and see a leaked picture of half of her sister's upper torso on the L train platform. It was just sick that people think that is a good thing to take a picture of this and then spread it online.
It's like, do people not think twice about this? That it's like all those videos of people dying. It's like, that's someone's family member, you know, and they're going to have to see that.
A year after the tragedy, Fallon's loved ones attended a memorial march for her. They wore blue shirts that read, hashtag no love on the platform, hashtag no love on the street. It was in reference to two tragedies the family had suffered, because only a week after Fallon's death, her niece, or Brandy Martin's daughter, 22-year-old Akilah Addison, was killed in a shooting while celebrating the 4th of July. Just so sad. Brandy Martin and her mother, Georgetta, both lost a child in the same week. And we're going to play a little clip of Brandy talking about losing her daughter.
And my child, I want to make this clear. She was enjoying the holiday. She didn't gang bang. She didn't do none of that. She was a working woman. Full of life. And I've been cheated. I've been robbed. My kid's been robbed.
I can't imagine.
Ugh. Yeah, it's just devastating. Georgetta Martin said, quote, they both were women of promise. It just didn't make sense the way their life was snuffed out. I don't want to see this happen to nobody else, because this year has been the most painful time for me. The family also advocated for a Fallon Smith Act that would require guardrails, more warning signs, and bigger staffing numbers on train platforms. They believe that these could have saved their loved one's life, and potentially the lives of others. Which, I mean, we don't really have a whole lot of trains like some of the other big cities in the United States. We have, you know, the light rail system, which, you know, there's definitely fatalities that happen with that, but we don't have the sheer number of trains and stations here.
Yeah, I've taken the light rail a few times. It does get a little weird in some areas, because you actually have to cross tracks to get to the center platforms. So, yeah, I can see how, I don't know, you can get confused. And I know, like her sister said, right, we know fire is fire hot. We know not to get on train tracks, right? That's just a thing that everybody's taught. But I don't know, shit happens. People make mistakes. Yeah. People get confused. So it's people went straight to victim blaming online, which is unacceptable here. It's like, yeah, obviously you don't get on train tracks. We know that. But things happen. So
I feel like we all have been guilty of doing something dangerous for, you know, accepting high risk for low reward. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, oh, 100%. Your phone falls in a spot, you know, or you're hiking and you drop a belonging or something and it's a steep cliff and you like hike down to go and get it.
You know,
and you could have fell and hurt yourself or fallen off. Or, I mean, we all take unnecessary risks for stupid things.
Yeah.
We're all guilty of that. So to go and victim blame and, you know, shame this woman and her, you know, hurt her family like that is just ridiculous, because we're all guilty of it. We're all human. We all make bad calls. Like, yeah, it's just part of being human. It's just a tragedy, honestly.
Yeah.
It could have happened to any of us.
And I mean, if she had just gotten a promotion too, she probably felt like she was on top of the world.
Right. Yeah. True. Yeah. It was such a high point for her. Yeah. And then, yeah, maybe that clouds judgment. You're right. It's a good point.
And cell phones for a lot of people is a high price item. So, you know, it's something that you don't want to lose or have destroyed. So, cause you're like, I don't know if I'll be able to afford to get another one or whatever it may be. So that also can kind of cloud your judgment sometimes, cause you're like, oh, it's going to put me in this, in, you know, inconvenient spot, and I'm not going to have a phone for a while. That's, you know, I'm starting a new job, and you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I need it to take care of my family and stuff. And so it's like an extension of us at this point. So, I can see why she wanted to get it back, and it just sucks that the timing of everything was so horrible, but
yeah.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
But yeah, this next one, wow, this is another tragedy that really should have never happened. And honestly, it sheds a lot of light on the serious dangers of blue-collar temp work in the U.S. On August 16th, 2012, 21-year-old Lawrence Daquan Davis, who went by Day, went to work his first day at the Bacardi plant in Jacksonville, Florida. And this was the first day he had ever worked a job in his entire life. Unfortunately, it would also be his last. So to give you a little bit of background on Day's life, Day's mother, Tonya Washington, gave birth to him when she was only 14 years old in Smithfield, North Carolina. She struggled to make ends meet. She found work at daycares, dollar stores, fast food chains, and supermarkets, but she and her family really worked hard to raise Day right. He later graduated from the Fort Stewart Youth Challenge Academy, which was a military-style school in Georgia. He then enrolled in Job Corps, a federal training program for low-income youth, where he studied to be a medical assistant. While there, he met his future fiancée, Alicia Lloyd, and in photos, you know, they were in love. They could be seen making each other laugh, or Day putting his head on her shoulder, making funny faces. He even gave her the nickname Lil Bit. And they often stayed up late texting or talking on the phone until one of them fell asleep. Here's how a close friend characterized their relationship. Quote, Day was Alicia's Prince Charming. I've never seen them apart. One day you looked up and they were together like they've been together forever. You just look up and they were lovey-dovey, buoy-buoy. Day loved Call of Duty and Dragon Ball Z. And he loved his family and his future family. One day, his fiancée, Alicia, fell sick and went to the hospital. They actually found out she was pregnant, and Day was immediately head over heels to become a father. He knew he had to step up to support his future family. He had dreams of getting a house with Alicia and their future child, and he already wanted another child before his first one had even come. But unfortunately, 8 months later, Alicia woke up feeling something was wrong. There was blood, and her placenta had ruptured. At the hospital, doctors ran tests and determined her child didn't have a heartbeat. She later delivered a stillborn baby girl. They named her Alyssa Kania Davis and buried her 11 days later. Day's sister, Nia, said, quote, none of the funerals we'd ever been to had he ever cried that hard before.
So horrible.
I know.
To have this happen to, you know, your first child and...
Yeah.
Oh, and
being so excited for it.
Oh, yeah. This is like, I think when you get pregnant, you know, your partner gets pregnant, is like the worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
You know, you get all the way to the end and you don't get to have that life with them. Just, can't even imagine.
Yeah. And his brother Jojo said, quote, he was different after that. He wanted to work and move out with his girlfriend and settle down. So, yeah, that child brought about so much change in Day. And he initially wanted to go into the military, but he struggled in math. He couldn't quite pass the aptitude test. So after he failed again in 2012 and his mother was out of work now, he knew he had to get a job as soon as possible. All the work opportunities around his neighborhood basically involved being, you know, you've probably seen them, the human signs outside of shops. You're just dressed in a stupid costume, flipping a sign. So he ended up going through a temp agency instead. And he told his brother Jojo that his new job at Bacardi, he could finally pay back his mom for the fender bender that he caused. And after that, he could buy some new shoes. And eventually, after he saved up some money, he could afford a new life with his fiance, who lived in Atlanta at the time. Just before his first shift, he called his mom and asked if she could take him to get the required steel-toe boots, a white shirt, and khaki pants. That's what he needed for work. And after that, he headed to the plant for the 15-minute orientation before his 3 p.m. shift began. That day, it was a humid 90-degree day in Florida at warehouse number 7 on North Main Street. The room was filled with the rattling of glass bottles, loud machinery, and this plant produced 45,000 cases of rum a day, and was responsible for all of Bacardi's rum distributed in the entire United States. Day was about to begin work in one of the most dangerous sectors of the U.S. labor market, which is blue-collar temp work. And this is sad. I really didn't know that much about this until I stumbled upon all these studies, but a ProPublica analysis showed that at the time in Florida, temp workers had about a 50% greater risk of being injured on the job compared to permanent workers. And temp workers in blue-collar workplaces like manufacturing and warehouse work, which was what Day was doing, were 6 times more likely to be injured than permanent workers doing similar jobs.
That tells you something.
I know. It's because they don't give a shit. The companies are like, oh, you're just temp. It doesn't matter. We don't have to cover anything medical, and we're just going to send you to do the shittiest work. Common injuries and even deaths would happen over and over again, like untrained workers asphyxiated while cleaning the inside of chemical tanks. They would get caught in heavy machinery such as food grinders and tire shredders, and would be afflicted by heat stroke after a long day on a garbage truck or roof. Those are all documented cases that had actually happened in these blue-collar temp jobs. And these blue-collar temp workers are often sent to do the most dangerous jobs with little training because the company is not required to pay their medical bills when they're injured. And in Florida, the amount of these injuries was consistently increasing when Day Davis had started his first job.
So Day went into work that day not realizing that it would be his last. He'd be working near a machine called the palletizer, a machine used for packing and stacking cases of goods. In this warehouse, it was sorting heavy cases of rum on a pallet. Employees were cleaning the machine that day because bottles often broke in the cases, which would spill rum on the conveyor belt, making it sticky. And when the conveyor belt was sticky, cases would crash into each other, causing more bottles to fall and break. This was a pretty consistent problem at this particular plant over the years, and no one bothered to fix the broken machine. As the operations in the plant started back up, cases began coming down the belt, crashing into one another almost immediately. An operator pushed the emergency stop button. Standard procedure would be to place a lock on the machine to stop any of the workers from accidentally pushing the start button again while someone was within the machinery. It would also make someone think twice about intentionally pressing the button as well. Unfortunately, this didn't happen. Underneath the machine, several broken bottles and glass shards were scattered along the cement, and Day made his way beneath the platform. There was also a second emergency stop button and some bars to put under the palletizer platform to keep it from collapsing, but employees rarely used the bar because it slowed down production. Soon, Day approached the area, and this was only about an hour and a half into his first shift at 4:39 p.m. He had just sent a selfie to his fiancée, Alicia Lloyd, and they were both proud of him for finally getting a job, and he was eager to get to work, and he promised he would call her during his break. The operator then pointed out the broken bottles and glass beneath the platform under the palletizer, and he told Day to go under the palletizer and sweep it up. So he headed down beneath the platform, and a few minutes passed, and Day headed back up above the platform to ask a question around 4:46 p.m. According to police, one of the supervisors claimed that he had told Day to sit by the side of the machine. Others alleged that the supervisor had told Day to go get a pair of gloves. Either way, Day headed back down underneath the palletizer to continue cleaning. Meanwhile, the supervisor and operator continued to clean the conveyor belt just above Day. They then closed the gate, turned on the machine, and started the operations again. Cases of rum flowed down the line and landed on the platform beneath it until it reached the palletizer, and almost immediately, they heard Day let out a scream from below. As workers looked beneath the platform, they saw Day crushed underneath the palletizer. The operator immediately shut down the machine, and another tried to lift the machine manually to get it off of Day, and the supervisor radioed somebody to call emergency services. Meanwhile, workers headed beneath the platform together to try and lift that machine off of Day, and another employee could be seen on the security cameras handing a pry bar down to the others, but it was no use. 60 cases of rum weighing about 2,000 pounds total was on top of the platform that crushed Day. Minutes later, emergency services arrived, but it was unfortunately too late. The machine had killed Day Davis. In a 2013 statement, Bacardi said it had been steadfast in his commitment to worker safety. OSHA later wrote that Bacardi put profits over safety, trained its workers to cut corners, and treated its temp workers as second-class citizens and peons. In February 2013, OSHA cited Bacardi Bottling Corp. with 12 safety violations and proposed fines of $192,000 in response to what had happened. They claimed Bacardi failed to train temp employees to safely operate the palletizer and ensure it could not be accidentally started again. Two willful citations, which imply intentional knowledge or voluntary disregard, were issued. 9 other serious citations were issued accusing the company of exposing workers to direct hazards and not having proper safety devices in place and practicing unsafe policies and procedures. Dr. David Michaels, OSHA Assistant Secretary of Labor, said, quote, "A worker's first day at work shouldn't be his last on earth," which, no other way to say it.
Yeah, that's it. It's so tragic because he's, you know, it's his first day. He's trying to change his life. He wants to get his shit together. And then this happens because, you know, they just don't give a shit about blue collar temp workers is the bottom line.
Yeah, it's sad and not surprising at all that this happens so often.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
But we're going to end this one with a little bit of a palate cleanser. Some, you know, these episodes can be depressing. So yeah.
I'm like bumming out harder. Yeah. Like, this is just all so sad. God.
So we're going to try, you know, to end it on a little bit of a high note here after all those stories. And, you know, obviously our hearts go out to the victims. But shifting gears a bit, you know what? not all work horrors deal with death and injury, luckily, and some come in different shapes and sizes, just like the shape of a dirty, stinky leather boot. And you're wondering, oh, why is he talking about a boot? Well, you're about to find out. In April 2024, a woman named Izzy Parker decided to share details about her strange work opportunity in her first ever article with Vice. Izzy had just lost her job at a local pub in Melbourne for calling the owner. I know it's Melbourne is how...
It is Melbourne, if you want to say it correctly.
The Australians call it, yeah.
Us Americans always mispronounce it because we just say it how it's spelled.
Melbourne,
but it is Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah. She apparently called her boss, the owner, the Antichrist behind his back. He overheard her. And for 2 months after, she struggled to find more work. Unfortunately, no one was hiring. In the meantime, she put together a resume with cover letters, read some self-help books. And she tried to sell some things on Facebook Marketplace because, you know, rent's coming up. You gotta make some money. She ended up posting her old ratty Doc Martens for sale. And we'll post a picture of them. Those are the actual boots right there. They were her old work boots at the pub, and they were still stained in wine and beer.
And probably urine.
Yeah,
God knows what. Whatever else is on the pub floor.
All the fluids of the pub were on these boots. And as she posted the boots, you know, she got a little sentimental. She really loved her old job besides the owner. She said shifts with him were, quote, as much fun as a sandpaper dildo.
Wow.
So she really did not like that guy.
Sound painful.
And now she's out of a job. She's screwed. But almost immediately after posting the Doc Martens on the marketplace, she got an offer. She got a message.
Which we all know how that goes. If you've ever sold anything on Facebook Marketplace, it can be a very scary place.
A lot of strangers and some weirdos, some creeps on there, for sure. The attached message said, quote, hey, this might sound a little strange. Well, yeah, but if I paid you $50 on the spot, would you be down to meet up at like a park or something and let me lick the soles of the boots? Totally weird as fuck, I know. I'll pay. And a little smiley face emoji. At first, she was just thinking this post was from a troll or something. And she replied, quote, Cuzzy, you need Jesus. Cuzzy is kind of an Australian, New Zealand slang. But she soon realized that the man was 100% dead serious. Seeing his rent was due soon, she then made a counteroffer. She's like, hey, how about $1,000 for a nice bootlick job?
Yeah, and we have a little screenshot of the messages. And he ends up saying, you know, she's like, is this legit? And he's like, yeah. Or a jest, and he's like, no, I'm being dead serious. No, I'm being 100% serious.
Yeah. I'll seriously
pay you for this. We can talk on normal Facebook if you want, which that tells me that this person was creeping on her Facebook profile. That's what that tells me, is because he's like, let's talk on normal Facebook. Because you know when you go on, I know I've done this, because sometimes before I go buy something from somebody on Facebook Marketplace, I'll go like, look at their profile.
Check out, see who they
just
are.
Just see who they are. Yeah. Just kind of get a vibe for them. And I'm guessing that's what this person did.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, oh, this girl's boots.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love this, though. You know, you respond, they're like bartering for this, which is hilarious. This very obscure sex work, I guess you could call it. The man responded, how about $200 for 20 minutes? And this was enough to cover about a week's rent. So she was like, fuck it, deal's on, let's do this thing, which I can't imagine. I mean, money's definitely been tight in the past, but I don't think I've ever been so desperate that I would go through with this. But, you know, props to her. He wanted to meet at Phillips Reserve in Melbourne's inner north, and supposedly this was his favorite place to lick a stranger's boot.
Looks a bit secluded.
Yeah, you got a lot of big tree line,
a lot of
shrubs.
I wonder if she's like creeped out at all by this.
Right.
I mean,
in her post, she's just kind of like, she seems not ashamed of it.
Like, why not go meet in a public parking lot or something?
Yeah.
You know, she's like, he wants to do it at this specific location. I don't know. Like, for me, I'd just be like, red flags here.
All day.
all over the place.
Usually when you want to meet at a park, you're hoping that other people are there.
Yeah, I guess so.
So maybe he's, you know, that's his kink.
Well, when Izzy got to the park at the agreed upon time, she was relieved that the weather was gray and cloudy, which this meant there would be less potential spectators out and about, because it's embarrassing. I mean, probably didn't want a lot of people to watch, but on the flip side, you probably do.
I think that's maybe a part of
this guy out there, because you never know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
A small existential crisis set in, but Izzy pushed on for the money. She made her way into the park, and she found the man in a secluded spot in the trees. She asked if she could sit, and he nodded with a grin on his face. Scary, honestly. Yeah. Like, what? As she got a good look at the man, she figured he was maybe in his late 20s. He was clean, his hair was combed, his socks matched, and his shirt was ironed, and he wore a shiny watch on his wrist. She thought this was clearly a man with money to spare, especially if he was willing to pay $200 to lick up her dirty boots. One last thing she noticed and also pretended not to notice was his bulging erection fighting the inside of his pants. The act hadn't even begun yet, so he's very excited about this, clearly. He said he knew the whole thing was bizarre, but Izzy assured him she wasn't going to kink shame him. Okay.
You know what?
Love the open-mindedness here.
Yeah, I like her open-mindedness too, but you know what? I think we can kink shame a little bit.
At the very least, it's unsanitary.
Yeah. It seems like a risk of picking up something, you know?
And this guy knew, like, can clearly see from the photos.
It's dirty.
They're dirty. I wonder if she was like, yeah, dude, I clean bathrooms at the pub. You sure you want to lick them?
I bet that's a part of the kink, though. I bet he doesn't want clean boots. He wants them to be a bit
grimy.
What's
the fun in licking a new pair of boots?
Yeah.
I want all the flavors.
I want to get hepatitis.
Yeah, seriously. So as the act began, Izzy set a timer and just stared at the clouds.
Please, God, let me say a quick prayer over and over again till it's over.
She held up one leg while the man got on all fours and began licking the sole of her boot like an ice cream cone. Licking it up. During the bizarre encounter, Izzy admitted she never once felt objectified or uncomfortable. She didn't kink shame him either. She figured the man just enjoyed being witnessed licking a filthy boot in a public space on all fours. Okay, dude. When the timer finally went off after 20 long minutes, the man fumbled to his feet and handed her over $200 in cold hard cash. He got whatever he was looking for, I guess. Once he was gone, Izzy began crying, laughing, and chortling hysterically at the same time, because she was $200 richer. She's like, that's the easiest $200 I've ever gotten. This obscure form of work covered her rent for about a week. But then soon, you know, week goes by and you got to find $200 again. So
hopefully what I'm hoping is that she kept in contact with this guy. She's like, hey, you want to do this again sometime? I'll cut you a deal. Maybe $150 next week.
He's a repeat customer.
Yeah.
Start a membership program.
Yeah.
Open your own business.
That's $600 an hour if we think about it. So
$200 for 20 minutes.
Would you do it? Let's say you were in the dumps, you had no money.
Would I lick dirty boots for money?
Would you? No, would you have your boot licked for money?
Probably. I mean, if there's people willing to pay you for that, why not? So
that's kind of where I'm at. I don't think I would be against it.
I don't blame her at all. It seems like, yeah. I mean, thank God she was safe and this wasn't some like creepy weirdo that then goes from bootlicking to sexually assaulting you.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's what I'd be worried about.
That's the danger. Definitely.
You just never know.
Bring your mace.
Yeah. Or like have a friend go with you and then just like watch you from somewhere. So the fact she went alone, I mean, pretty brave.
Yeah.
Although it is Australia. So
maybe they're more chill there.
I don't know. Maybe not quite the risk that it would be here, but I feel like here it'd be very sketchy to do this.
Yeah, I definitely would not. In Denver, I don't think I would do it. I'm good.
Yeah.
But it does raise the question, you know, what would you do?
For $200
for a Klondike bar, you know?
Definitely not what this guy did, that's for sure. There's a lot of other ways I feel like, you know, you could just be a normal person and go deliver DoorDash or something.
True.
Hell, go start an OnlyFans or something. I mean,
true.
That's what I would do.
Who out there would subscribe to Josh and I's OnlyFans? Hit us up in the comments.
I got some gnarly feet. We could do feet pics. Well, if podcasting doesn't work out, I guess we have a backup plan at least.
So. Yeah. I don't really like gnarly feet though. I like when they're in dirty boots.
Yeah. Walking all over the bar.
Yes. Covered in piss and beer. Yeah, that's the only way.
I wonder what it is for him. What's the kink exactly?
It's probably, it has to do with like degradation, right? Like,
well, I assume that he wouldn't go like to the construction site and be like, hey man, let me lick those boots. Right? It's because she's a female. And that's why I brought up, he probably saw the boots and like surfs the boots on Marketplace and looks at the profiles for who's posting the listings and then finds the women that are doing it and then sends messages.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, maybe he does guys too. I don't know. I'd be curious to know if, you know, he goes after anybody's dirty boots or if it's just women's or the fact that it's a woman holding her boot up and he's on. The fact he gets on all fours.
That's why I think it's more of like a degradation thing. You ever seen like people with the, they got like the gimp suits and they're in the leash and they're crawling around and someone's like holding them by the leash. I think it's maybe a little bit adjacent to that maybe.
And then it's the public thing too.
Yes.
To do it in public where you're being seen. Clearly it got him all horned up. So like, I don't know, whatever floats your boat, I guess. I mean, this was a safe, consensual interaction. So.
Yeah. And it's good to know there's maybe, you know, if you're struggling with money, if you're a listener, I mean, I'm not suggesting you do this, but just know that there's potentially an untapped market out there.
I mean, the people are into everything these days. So it's not hard to find a kink like this.
True.
To make money off of.
It's bottomless.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's your light and fuzzy end to this episode. Bootlicking. For money. So all the other ones were absolutely horrific, and then this one is just, I don't know, I'm just shrugging my shoulders.
Yeah Well, joke's on you guys, because I actually wrote this is about, I just switched the names. This is actually Danny and I involved in this.
There you go. let us know your thoughts on this one though. Which story do you feel like scares you the most? All of them are horrifying, and all of them, you know, could potentially happen to anybody in these jobs. I feel like it's just, a lot of these are freak accidents, and you know, I think it makes you wonder, are you really safe at your job? I don't know. I don't feel safe sometimes just sitting here with you two. So I don't know.
I'm like, this is actually, I'm like,
make sure nobody's under the desk, like licking my feet right now.
Yeah. I'm actually like Han Solo, though. I always have a pistol.
Yeah, just like at gunpoint underneath the table. Well, yeah, thanks again for joining us for another episode of Lights Out. We really appreciate it. If you enjoy the channel, make sure you subscribe, like the video, share it with your friends, share it with your mom. Maybe not, actually. I take that back. Maybe your mom might not be a fan, although we do have a lot of moms out there that are fans.
True. I know several. Yeah.
Babe, doing well with the moms out there. That's great.
Yeah.
We love our demographic.
Let's get our MILF demographic blowing up.
Get those numbers up, man. Well, thanks again. We'll see you next week. Until then, lights out, everybody.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready.
Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.